I should say the year, and Adonai's feasts are an eternal calendar and signposts of the things that have happened already and the things that are going to come about. We should be assured that just as he has completed the first four prophetic feasts, he will complete the final three. They will come to be because he never fails. And his words are true, yes, and amen. Every time. The deposit that he gave us by his resurrection and the completion of the first four prophetic feasts are the proof that the other three are going to come about. It's just no doubt about it. So let's take a quick look at them, all of them. And first we need to understand what the feasts were meant for, or who the feasts were meant for. So let's take a quick look at Leviticus 23:4. These are the appointed feasts of Adonai, holy convocations which you are to proclaim in the appointed season. It is all the feasts that are Adonai's. It's all the feasts that Adonai told Moses to speak out. They may have been spoken before the Israelites, but they were not meant just for the Israelites. He says, they're my feasts. The Lord says they're his. He didn't say, these are the feasts of my Jewish people. He didn't say, these are the feasts for the Israelites. These are the feasts of the Jews. He didn't say any of that. He said, these were my feasts. So anyone who is one of his, these are meant for you. In fact, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the city of Colossae, in Colossians 2, says this, therefore, do not let anyone pass judgment on you in a matter of food or drink, or in respect to the festival or new moon or Shabbat. These are a foreshadowing of things to come, but the reality is Messiah. Shaul was telling the Gentiles not to be ashamed of keeping the festivals, of keeping Shabbat, of keeping the feasts. Now, the church world as a whole will use this very verse and say, you see, we don't have to keep it. But that's not what was happening. Look at what was happening at the time to know what Shaul was saying. There was an uprising in the church that he helped to establish. There was an uprising that wanted to merge his faith in Adonai with things of the world. They actually wanted to merge worldly views of angels and saints to be between the people and Adonai. That's where Yeshua and the Ruach are supposed to be, but they wanted to merge angels and saints into it. So when Shaul's saying, don't be ashamed of the feasts, don't be ashamed of the food, he's saying, what? You learned before what it's all about. What was he teaching? He taught them Torah. That's all he was teaching them, was Torah. So when he was saying, in respect to the festivals, don't let them put you to shame, he was not saying, hey, you know, they're trying to force you into the festivals. He's saying, don't let them force you out of the festivals. He was saying with complete clarity, or what he wanted to be complete clarity, that the festival, the new moons, the Shabbat, were foreshadowings of things to happen, things to occur, things that have happened, things that are going to happen, and all of them are going to be represented in the heavens when we get there with him. Why would he tell them, forget all that now, if they're foreshadowings of what it is that's going to come? That it could not have been Shaul's meaning there. He wanted to be sure to tell these people. And who were these people? Mostly Gentiles. He wanted to tell these people, be sure to retain the observance of Shabbat and the feasts. That's all he was saying. So, the reality is, the feasts are for everybody who is a part of Adonai. Jew or Gentile, it does not matter. If you follow Adonai and his teachings, the feasts are for you. So now we know the cycle, but let's go through them quickly tonight, just in case that we need a quick refresher. First, we have Passover, which is the sacrifice of the lamb, and that was fulfilled by Messiah Yeshua, our Passover lamb, whose blood is a salvation for all of the world. Next, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was the deliverance from sin from Egypt as they were departing from Egypt, and that was done for us by Yeshua, his broken body, which paid the price for our sin. Then we have first fruits, which is originally an agricultural celebration, but was then cited and celebrated the giving of the word on Mount Sinai in the form of the Torah, and later on of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts 2. And it's also called, of course, Pentecost. These are the first four feasts that were fulfilled. Then we get to the fall feasts, which prophetically we're still looking forward to. Well, I can't even read my own handwriting. We know that they'll occur at the perfect time because Adonai's completed the first four. He's going to complete the next three. The first four were at a perfect time. The next three will be at a perfect time as well. And most of them are pretty fresh in our mind because we've been going through them over the last couple of weeks, this last period of time. So the first of those fall feasts is Rosh Hashanah, the new year. It's also the time when all of Adonai's people will be gathered up to him in the sky at that final shofar blast. The last one that we've just gone through, right? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the day that we'll see atonement fulfilled through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. It's the day of the full power of the blood being unleashed. Because the reality is, right now, we have the promise. But at that final time, that promise is going to be unleashed to us. And we will have the full measure of it. It will then be fulfilled. And finally, we have today's celebration, the great and final feast day of Adonai. We read about it in Leviticus 23, 39 through 43, which I read earlier. It says, Sukkot is to be used to remind us, just as the Israelites lived in booths when they were coming out of Egypt, and the Lord was with us in the desert, so will Messiah reside with us for all time to come. It's also a reminder of the great work that Adonai will do for those who trust in his atonement through the Messiah Yeshua. Let's go on to Micah 4. Look what it says in Micah 4, verses 6 through 7. In that day, it is a declaration of Adonai, I will gather her who is limping, and her who was banished, I will collect, even those whom I have afflicted. I will make her who was limping into a remnant, and her who was banished a mighty nation. Adonai will reign over them on Mount Sinai from that time and forevermore. On that day, it says that even the hurting and those sent to the four corners of the world will be gathered back to live with him. In Revelation, it's described this way by John. Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Nor shall there be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away. Can you see the picture that's being painted here? Can you hear it? Gathered together with him in the holy city, the new Jerusalem. No more tears, no more death, no more mourning, crying, pain. It's all gone. This is how time in eternity is described when we're with him. Many call that heaven. This is the final of the seven feasts of Adonai. This is the best of them, in my opinion, because we'll be with him. All eternity with him, the promise that we're keeping in our hearts, will then be fulfilled. No more waiting. The truth is that all men will be gathered back to him. And at this time, all will be judged. The dead, the living, the ones who don't believe, the ones who do believe, the ones who believe only in the old covenant, the ones who believe in the old covenant, the new covenant, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets judged. This is what we're told in Revelation 20 and 21. First in Revelation 20, starting in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one seated on it. The earth and the heaven fled from his presence, but no one was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what was written in the books, according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The dead and Sheol gave up the dead in them. Then they were each judged, each one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Sheol were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's talking about the books that we spoke about on Yom Kippur. Those are the books that are being opened again. Those are the books that are being examined to judge everybody. And before Adonai, they're opened so that he can judge, because he's a righteous judge. It's based on what you've done, not how he feels. Although he feels love to all men and does not want to see any to be lost and dying, to be thrown into the lake of fire. But because he's righteous, he can only act upon what is written in those books. And those not in the book of life, they're thrown into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Revelation 21:7 says that this is what happens to those in the book of life. And Revelation 21:8 says this is what happens to those who are not in the book of life. Starting Revelation 21:7. The one who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's verse 7 for those in the book. Yay. But for the cowardly, the faithless, and the detestable, and the murderers, and the sexual immoral, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their lot is in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The list of sins in verse 8 are still on those that do not accept Messiah Yeshua. For we've all sinned. We all have at least some of these sins in our past. For some of them, it was just earlier today. For each and every one of us. But the blood of Messiah Yeshua washes us clean. Before we get judged, thank you, Lord, before we get judged. But those not cleansed by the blood because of disbelief, because they don't accept the blood of Messiah Yeshua, it says they're thrown into the fire and the brimstone, which is the second death. It does not mean it's the end for them. This is the really sad part. It doesn't mean it's the end of them. It means they continue for all eternity, just like those who believe in Messiah Yeshua, except their eternity is in fire and brimstone. This is the reason we take Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur so seriously. This is the reason we share the word as often as we can. Or I should say, we should share the word as often as we can. It's only by the blood of Messiah Yeshua that we stay out of the fire, lake of fire, out of the brimstone, into his presence for all eternity. It's the reason we celebrate Sukkot every year at this time. It's to remember what Adonai said he would do. He would reside with us. He would sup with us. He would have dinner with us. He would eat with us. He'd live with us in the Sukkot. It's a reminder of the great and final outcome that we can and should look out for. It's the celebration of the defeat of death and the stripping away of all the hurts of the world. It's the reason for us celebrating. It's why we celebrate with sweet desserts. With the salvation of Messiah Yeshua, we will be treated to sweet times that last forever. The Sukkot is a reminder that we will live with him, and that all our sins, our troubles, our concerns, our pains, our worries, all the distractions that once removed our eyes from him will be removed forever, and we will dance on those streets that are golden, and we will lift up the name of Adonai and Yeshua and praise him forever. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that we can look up to you on this Sukkot and remember your promises, the promises that are always yes and amen. And we will dance on the streets that are golden as long as we continue to run the race and keep our eye on you. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to run this race. Help us to keep our eyes up onto our Father, Adonai. And we all say, Amen. Amen.